Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Danny, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to the show. Today is Tuesday, November 13th.
Mm-hmm. Can't believe it's already like mid-November. Like, what is happening?
I know, man. Time is moving fast.
Yep, sure is.
So, how are you feeling this morning?
I'm good.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Good.
Always good when I'm alive and breathing.
Exactly. And you come in here and you forget about your problems.
Exactly.
Sometimes.
Sometimes.
Yeah, right. Or you tell them to me before the show.
Yeah, exactly. Just needed that vent before we got on air.
Yeah. I'm telling you, you put your heart and your efforts in the wrong guy.
I know.
And you're getting hurt because of it.
I know. And you know what's so crazy? On the phone last night, he was like, I feel really bad because I'm like taking you on this roller coaster ride. Like, it's like I'm up, I'm down, I'm affectionate, I'm not affectionate, I'm hot, I'm cold. I'm like, but you choose to be that way.
Right.
Like, that has nothing to do with me. It has everything to do with you. And right. I don't think you're comprehending that.
Right.
It's like just so crazy to me.
Yeah. I don't know. He sounds like a fucked up guy. I would not. I mean, you've gone much farther than I would.
Yeah.
Ever.
My girlfriend was like, if I called you and I told you about this guy and I was telling you everything that you were telling me, what advice would you give? I'd right. say I'd cut him off.
Right.
She goes, okay, and then cut him the fuck off.
Right.
Oh, it's just really hard.
Because you built a story, a future.
I know.
It's
so
right?
It
you
is. See,
that's what I'm saying. You jumped the gun a little bit.
I know. And then my sister FaceTimes me. So when my sister was pregnant and nobody knew, my mom like had a dream about running water.
Right.
And every time she like came downstairs and looked at me and Gabby, and I didn't know Gabby was pregnant at the time. She goes, is one of you pregnant? And we're like, no. She goes, every time I have a dream about running water, somebody's pregnant.
Really?
Then Gabby was pregnant. And then she had another dream about running water. And then my brother's wife was pregnant. And this morning, my mom had a dream about running water. And I was like, it's not me. I refuse.
I hope not.
Shit. No.
Can you imagine getting pregnant from a guy like that?
No.
That doesn't give a shit about anybody.
I know.
Anything? Where's his respect for himself? Anybody that respects himself, do not behave like that.
I feel like it must be like an insecurity thing.
Either that or just an asshole, you know? I mean, sometimes you don't know. And even if he's not, maybe he's just up and down, right?
Right.
You don't want to deal with that.
Yeah, because my cousin...
Because he's not treating it. If he does have some kind of a mental issue, he should be treating it.
Yeah, like my cousin is the same way. Like, she doesn't take any medication and she's bipolar. And it's like, I love her to death, but it's just definitely like, I like basically cut her off. She texts me and like, why can't we speak? I'm like, because you're so up and down. It's like, we're cool. And then all of a sudden you like pick a fight. Like, literally out of nothing.
Really?
It's like, and yeah. I don't have the energy to be fighting with my family over nothing.
Yeah, it's like they start fighting with themselves, you know? What the fuck? Leave me alone.
It's like, you are having whatever inner issues you're having, and I feel bad I can't be there for you, but I'm also not your punching bag.
Right.
Like, you can't take whatever's going on up here out on me. Like, it's just not going to happen.
Yeah, but no, bipolar that's not medicated, they can be dangerous to everybody and to themselves, too. I know, because I am one and I've been on medication, and you can't tell that I have any problems, you know?
Yeah, no. Yeah.
I don't behave like that. When I was not on medication, I was angry all the time. I was depressed. You don't want to be nice to people, you know, because you're in pain. You want to convey your pain to other people, but you can't, you know?
Right.
So I think that's why people get like that, you know? But
like, it's almost like split personalities or like,
not really, but different moods, maybe,
right.
You know?
Right.
So one moment you might feel a certain way, and then the next you don't. You
right.
know? So that's shitty enough.
Yeah.
You know?
For sure.
Yeah.
My grandmother was bipolar. I think my mom is like slightly bipolar.
Yeah.
You know?
There's different degrees.
Yeah, like my grandmother was severely bipolar. Like,
really?
The doctors like diagnosed her with like multiple personality, like
wow.
bipolar, crazy. Like, she was, there would be, because we grew up living with her.
Yeah.
So it's like one day she'd be in the kitchen making us lunch, and the next she'd be like screaming at the top of her lungs about how we can't play our Aladdin cassette tape.
Whoa.
And I'd be like, what? And we were kids, so we didn't understand it. We just thought, Nana is crazy. Yeah, you know? Right? And then it wasn't until we were older. Like, there was this one time we all left to Springfield, which is like 2 hours away from where we live, to go see like the Basketball Hall of Fame.
Right.
And when we were driving home, we saw Nana on the highway, like,
really?
in the next lane over. And we were like, what the hell is she doing out here? So when we got home, she took all the food from the fridge and threw it in the driveway.
Wow.
Yeah. Like, she was severely mentally ill.
Yeah. Yeah. Clearly.
And we didn't get it because we were kids. Now I get it.
Yeah.
Because my cousin is like semi like that.
Yeah.
Like, just batshit. Like, at my nephew's christening, we all had a party at the crib after. And she was like, she's an atheist. Like, she doesn't believe in God or anything. So she's like, was anyone else thinking about getting fucked in the church? And I was like, oh my God. This is crazy.
Shit. Warning, grandmother.
And like, everyone's just like, you know, it's cringeworthy, but like, everyone just knows, like,
yeah,
this is her. Like,
oh God.
Wrong place, wrong time, but it's got to do it.
Jeez.
Mm-hmm. Like,
no, it's hard. It destroys families, and you can understand how, you know? I mean, people don't know how the fuck to deal with you.
Right. Like, my uncle's brother died, and all of them got left a lot of money. Like, the money that he left each of the kids in that side of the family, like, I'd still be chilling.
Really?
Like, 110%. She doesn't have a penny of it left.
Wow. Jeez.
Mm-hmm.
She probably went on spending sprees and shit, you know?
Yeah, because, and then she would have, like, when she comes over for, like, Christmas and stuff, like, before, I haven't seen her in a while, but she would pull out her phone and she'd have, like, videos and pictures of, like pornographic of a guy she'd be hooking up with. But I heard that when you're bipolar, sometimes you get really sexual because you don't feel it. I guess, supposedly, they're, like, looking to feel something and they try to do it in a sexual manner.
Mm.
That's what my aunt was trying to explain. Really? And I was like, okay.
So she watches porn.
No, she made her own porns.
Oh, she made her own porn.
Yeah, it's her.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's like her, like, sucking a dick.
Oh, like with the guys.
Yes.
That's what you said. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Did you see it?
Yeah, she showed us, like, nonchalantly as we're eating pancakes in the morning. I'm like, it is 8 a.m. I don't need to see you sucking a dick.
Yeah. Shit. What the hell's wrong with people,
man? I don't know. I really don't know.
Yeah. So my friend Doug, I hope he'll call this morning. He forgot yesterday to call in.
But do you blame him, though? He's got so much going on.
Yeah, yeah. So let me just briefly remind everybody that two of my friends, their brothers and their family, lost their home in Paradise, California, in the fire that obliterated the town. There's nothing left. And every time I talk to them, I just want to cry. I mean, they're like seven people, you know, three adults. Don's wife and his brother, and then four kids. And they're trying to get the business back up, but they don't even have a place to stay. So they're like staying in hotels and shit. And you can't do it. You know,
right.
You can't run a business from a hotel. And so, and they're saying, even if you try to find a room or an apartment, there's nothing close. Everybody's taken up. So they would have to go like as far as Sacramento to settle down, but we'll see what happens. So the situation is dire. I told him I'd send him some clothes too. I got a lot of clothes that I'm not using anymore.
Right.
So and we started a GoFundMe, and we already made a few thousand dollars, which is very nice, you know.
Good.
So people do care about them. They love them. I urge you, if you're listening, if you can't, if you can't donate, at least share from Facebook. You'll see it's all over the place. You can also share. We started a fund on Facebook, so some people just would rather stay within that environment.
Right, right.
So you can do that, and all you have to do when you go to GoFundMe, just look up Newsom, which is Newsom, which is their last name. And yeah, it's sad because, you know, they started the radio station before I did. They inspired me.
Right, right.
And they have a station called BBS Radio, and now it doesn't operate. So, and that's their source of livelihood, you know. So what the hell do you do, you know?
Yeah, it's terrible.
It's really terrible. So a lot of people have been helping. I mean, my heart is just melting from all the outpour of support and stuff. And, I mean, who else can you count on besides friends or people that you know you work with?
Right.
You know, I mean, shit, you know, you can't leave people out in the street.
No,
either,
definitely
you know?
Not.
So if anybody can help, please, you can go to my page, go to LA Talk Radio's page. You can see links and everything. And greatly appreciated. So I just want to say about the fire. They're saying it's definitely the state's deadliest. And 70 miles an hour winds could fan the blaze in Southern California. In other words, we're going to get 70 miles per hour winds here.
Well, yesterday was kind of windy.
Yeah, but nothing like this.
Yeah, I mean, nothing.
You know
yeah,
what 70 miles per hour is?
That's crazy.
It's a fucking storm.
I'll be inside.
Yeah.
Catch me on my couch.
Yeah, right?
It's so crazy. Like, how do you actually put a fire out like that? Like, you have to work all day and all night, basically.
Yeah, and it's just like pouring fucking buckets of water, you know, on a huge fire.
I mean, know.
They're just so large. It's so scary when you look at it from the air. They're just all over the place, you know. And
they should get like bigger, like big, giant, like fire extinguishers for stuff like this.
Well,
like,
they have airplanes.
Yeah, I know, but
they drop the retardant and stuff in water.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that works.
Because I'm gonna say, if they had like a jet that like had a fire gun with just fire extinguish, it'd probably go out quicker.
I don't know, but it's apparently the best method is either the planes like fly over water, they collect water and then they fly over the fire and they drop it. And there's also like retardant, you know, like they drop like they color it pink or sometimes yellow, and it just drops this material that retards the fire. But like, you know what I'm saying? I mean, there's only so much you can do.
I know.
I mean, it was so hot. They said the fire trucks that was standing by the fire, their paint was peeling, you know?
That's crazy.
And from being at a distance from the fire.
And they're probably putting their own health at risk too, because breathing all that in can't be good for you.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, you can't imagine the sacrifice that firefighters make.
And they don't get paid, which is a crazy thing.
What do you mean?
They don't get paid well.
They do.
Firefighters?
Yeah, they do.
They do?
Yeah, anything where you risk your lives, you're not going to...
I feel like cops and firefighters don't really get paid well.
Well, I don't know about cops, but firefighters, definitely, you know. They work hard. They work like 24-hour shifts, and then they're off 24 hours.
I know, yeah. But I always thought for some reason, like, they didn't get paid well.
Yeah. Huh. Let's find out from Google, right?
Yeah, like I'm pretty sure they're really underpaid, because everyone's post online is like, firefighters don't get paid enough, this and that.
Well, it does start at $36,000.
That
which
is so low.
It goes up to $104,000, and they're saying the average is $69,000, just $70,000. That's not bad.
$70,000
is
not bad.
It's not great.
Yeah.
It's not great, but you're right.
But firefighters have to show up to like scenes of accident and stuff too. So it's like $36,000 to show up to like a car accident, crime scene. That's like not enough.
Yeah.
Because that's like, you could get post-traumatic stress disorder from that.
Yeah.
Because can you imagine showing up to an accident? And like, even EMTs, like, Google how much EMTs make, because they be seeing some shit.
Right.
Yeah. See how much they make. Google it.
What? EMTs?
Yeah.
Oh, I will. But now this other thing says that it works out to less, but Los Angeles pays more, you know? So rookie starts at $60,000 in LA.
Oh, okay.
And the top earner makes about $83,000. So in LA, it's fine. But look, the average nationally, $22 an hour, man.
That's not that much.
What the fuck?
That's horrible. That's like what people get to be a personal assistant for somebody.
Right, right.
Like, that's not even, like, that doesn't even make any sense.
I know.
Like, I get it. Like, maybe some shifts you go in and you don't leave. You just sit there. But then there could be one shift where it's like, you know, your entire life is at risk.
Oh,
yeah. And you're responsible for everybody else. Like, $22 an hour is absolute garbage.
Yeah. Wow.
That's crazy.
Yeah. EMTs in California, no, about the same.
That's
actually much less. Paramedics make an average of $42,000, and in LA it was a lot more. But Yeah, flight medics make 44. That's not a lot of friggin' money for at what
all,
they do, right?
At all. They see like I back in the day, I knew this guy who was he was training to be an EMT, or he wasn't. He can't really remember, so whatever. And he said he showed up to the scene of the accident, and he was like, "That's when I realized I wasn't sure what I signed up for."
Yeah,
because it was just like body parts,
right?
And I was like, I see. There was this picture. There was a story a long, long time ago about this girl in Southern California who stole her parents' car.
Yeah.
And she crashed into one of those like toll booths.
Okay.
The cement toll booths. And a cop on the scene of the crime took a picture of her body in the car. And it was like, to this day, I still have nightmares about it.
You can't unsee it.
No, you can't. And it's all over the internet.
Wow.
And her family like tried to sue because they were like, now our other kids are going to, every time they Google their sister, that's the image that they're going to have of her.
Right.
But even me, like a complete stranger, I don't know this family at all. That image has still to this day never have left my mind.
Yeah.
So can you imagine being an EMT and seeing that stuff on like a regular basis and you're only getting paid like the same as like a receptionist at a hair salon?
Right.
That's crazy.
I know.
The world doesn't make any sense.
No, it seems like the people that should be paid the most are being paid the least.
Yeah.
Like teachers, for example. Teachers, to me, they put so much on the line that they deserve more money, you know?
I think teachers deserve more money if they are good teachers. There's some really bad teachers out there.
Yeah, but, you know, I mean, we're not talking about that. We're talking about what a teacher deserves.
Like professors and stuff.
Right. I mean, you know, they invest in our next generation and everything.
Mm.
But, what I don't understand is how we make heroes out of athletes and celebrities. And the real heroes don't get any,
recognition at
right. all. Right. I mean, this guy like plays fucking basketball or football, makes $5 million, and a firefighter that saves lives and people's houses and stuff, they make nothing.
Right.
$22 an hour.
I know.
So, yeah, our priorities are totally fucked up. Completely. I don't know what's going on.
Completely.
But I would think it would be more because in order to draw people to risk their lives, you might want to offer them a lot of money, but I guess all these firefighters, I guess they just look for that. Maybe they have that in them to help people.
Right.
And that's why they join, you know. But definitely not for the money. I can't imagine. Shit. That's not a lot of money at all.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What's going on with Doug? He's forgetting again, huh?
He's probably just so stressed.
Yeah.
Like, I can't even imagine, like, what he's possibly going through right now.
I know. But let me see. I think I have his number here, and I'll try and call him. Maybe he doesn't recognize the number, I'm sure, but maybe he'll answer. I don't know. Who knows, man? Let's see. I think I have the number here. So Doug Newsom is, like I said, a good friend of mine. They're like brothers to me, he and his brother, and they just lost everything in the fire. I really want to hear his story. So let's see if we can get him to answer, and that would be interesting. He won't recognize.
Doug speaking.
Doug, good morning. It's Sam and Danny.
Hey, Sam. How are you doing, my friend?
Good. I figured I told Danny he's probably forgetting again, so let's just call him. You know?
Oh, no, that's perfect.
Yeah,
perfect.
So you're on the air, my friend. And
I'm on the air.
You're on the
air.
Hello,
LA world.
You see, he still can laugh, Danny.
Yeah,
you know?
That's always a good thing.
Yeah. So,
oh yeah, you, Sam, we're always laughing.
Yeah, we always have a lot of fun, man. I mean, these guys are brothers to me. And Doug, so just tell us briefly the story. I mean, I've been talking about you guys for the past few days, and because I'm still shaken by this whole thing, I can't imagine you guys not having a home to sit your asses down and no clothes, no nothing.
Nothing, not even had the common sense to grab our toothbrushes.
Oh, God.
I mean, that was the last thing
yeah.
I would be
yeah,
thinking about.
Yeah, nobody grabs toothbrushes, Doug.
You think about it when you don't have one, trust me.
That's true, right? Wow.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
We were, what a story. when we were notified 2 days prior to this whole fire by PG&E, who, from what we understand, are responsible for 3 fires, and I think they're culpable for to the tune of $4.5 billion or something like that because wildfires in 2017 and 16, and due to their transmission lines, right?
So that's the utilities company, right? The power company. Yeah. Okay.
The power, right? They spark.
Yes.
The boxes and spark. And in our case, 2 days prior to the fire, we were getting alerted. Like, I've never gotten an alert before, and let alone I was getting alerted. But they were calling us right in the office with these automatic messages one day prior and 2 days prior. PG&E is going to be turning off your power due to the high winds in the area.
Wow.
And we figured, wow, that's, you know, usually they don't do their job. Well, thank goodness they're alerting us. It sucks because we better get our generators ready and make sure we have enough gas.
Right.
So the day of the fire, of course, we still have power. Dawn and I wake up. We don't, you know, it's very dark. But you don't think about it much. You think maybe the time zone, maybe your alarms, you know, something's not right, but you don't really worry about it, right?
Right.
You know, and the power's still on. But then at around 10 a.m., the power goes off. And Don and I think, wow. So we start walking outside, getting the generator, and it's really dark.
Wow.
And we're figuring, huh, and then we smell smoke and we see a little bit of, orange in the distance. And we figure, maybe there's a fire around. No big deal because there's been fires in the area around here and we've never had to really evacuate. Well, we did evacuate once, but twice there were warnings and we figured, we're protected. We're in a safe area. No big deal, right?
Right. It's never going to happen to us. That's what you think.
Right. Yeah. That's what you think.
Yeah,
I mean, if I saw orange in the distance, I'd be bugging.
Right, you think so, but you don't want to leave everything, right?
Right.
So we start turning on the generators and plugging everything in. And within 30 minutes, it's so freaking dark. There's a yellow, a red sun, you could call it.
Yeah.
And like in a U shape around me, there's all this orange going on.
Oh, my God. Surrounding you.
Then you start hearing explosions. Boom.
Jeez.
Oh, my God. Boom.
Yeah, like propane tanks and shit like that, huh?
Propane tanks. Right.
Wow.
So we're now, the kid, Melissa has common sense. She starts packing. She starts getting alerts. You know, they've evacuated parts of paradise. But we figure, Dawn and I say, you know, she says, well, maybe you guys should grab something. You know, it's very fast. We're thinking, well, we better, no, let's just, we'll just stick around. Well, a couple, 5 minutes of that sort of conversation.
Yeah.
And Melissa's then, you know, we got some stuff for the kids, you know, making sure the kids have some clothes and stuff and packs them in the car. She goes, well, you can stay if you want, but we're out of here.
Yeah.
And then Dawn and I walk into the house, and now it's midnight. Midnight, 11 a.m. It's like midnight. Explosions going off anywhere. Orange all the way around you, and you're going. And Dawn and I start getting really afraid.
Yeah.
And we're like, Dawn, this isn't good. This is just not good. And it gets, you know, frantic. Just within minutes, we're like, Dawn, we got to get out of here. We may not survive this.
So
we immediately jump in the car, figuring in our heads, right? No big deal. We've evacuated before. We'll be back tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's what your head will think.
Yeah.
But we jump in the vehicle, and then as we're driving down the hill, there's fire everywhere. Cars. We have no gas in our vehicles. I swear the tank's showing empty on 2 of our vehicles.
Wow.
And it's like, no way. What do we do? Because you see cars to the side. They're doing nothing. They don't know what to do.
Right.
And, you know, there's fire everywhere. And we're like, oh, my God. All we were praying was, I hope we have enough gas to get to the bottom of the hill. We hope we have enough gas to get to the bottom of the hill.
Yeah, wow.
And, you know, on the drive down, all you could see was just fire all the way down Paradise Hill, which is like a 15-minute drive, not in front of us. The fire started up in the upper higher area of Paradise, not traveling all the way down, as you know, the road, Sam.
Right.
So it was like, wow, thank God we got out any minute, because it moved so fast. I mean, this fire did more damage in 2 days in, what, less than that, maybe even a day. I don't know
right.
if they calculate
that. A day, yeah.
But then the biggest wildfire in history in California.
Yeah.
And what do they take? Weeks to do that kind of damage.
Yeah.
So it was a fast moving, you know, the winds were blowing very, very hard. And we managed to get down. It was a slow crawl. I got to tell you, it was bumper to bumper vehicles.
Yeah, everybody trying to get away.
Everybody
trying to get away. I can imagine.
Everybody trying to get away.
Yeah.
Right.
Can imagine the traffic jams, and that's a small town, Danny, you know? Imagine like a big city or something, you
know?
That's
crazy.
But still, yeah, I mean, to be driving with fire around you is very scary, you know? And apparently some people did not make it and burned in their cars.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, you didn't hear about that?
Three football fields. What was it, a minute? Every minute were being consumed initially. That's
yeah.
how fast it moved.
Right.
And you know how big Paradise is.
Right,
so
right.
Think that distance in a minute.
Yeah. Jeez, man. You go back there, you won't recognize anything.
Can you imagine the people that were like at the very beginning of it and they're like, they didn't know.
Right.
And they were just like in their house.
I know.
That's horrifying.
Yeah.
We didn't know.
But I mean,
PG&E
like,
PG&E didn't alert us. We didn't get a phone call.
They should have told you guys. They should have told you guys to evacuate if they saw, because they basically saw this coming. Obviously,
right? They usually send like emergency texts. They did here to the phones.
Well, here's the interesting part.
Uh-huh.
They finally did shut off the power, just as you know, about 30 minutes before we left.
Right.
But you know, it was caused by. I just read articles that it was a lady. Wrote PG&E about 3 days prior to the fire, sent them an email. They did respond. And it basically said, your transformers are throwing off sparks.
Wow.
Yeah. And PG&E didn't respond to it. They did, but they didn't think it was going to be a big worry. And so they figured, oh, well, that's not in the worry zone.
Yeah.
We're not going to turn off the power even there because that doesn't have the really high winds like
right.
Paradise. Well, it's just a few miles away. How could it not? But this is PG&E's excuse. Well, I guess from what I understand now, there's inspectors there. They won't even, you know, PG&E, it's even their inspectors aren't allowed in because now it's considered a crime scene.
Oh, my God.
Really?
Because this lady not only notified PG&E, they did nothing about it.
Yeah. Jeez. Well, we'll see what happens.
You know,
hopefully you get some money.
PG&E, but they're bad news.
Yeah, yeah. Well, hopefully you guys will get compensated a little bit for it. But in the meantime, we started a couple of funds for you. And I want to let people know, Doug and Don, we started a GoFundMe for them. Also, I started last night a Facebook fundraiser so people can so for people on Facebook, it'll be a little easier. But I got to tell you, Doug, people have been so generous in donating that I'm just overwhelmed, you know, with emotion. It's amazing. People write how great you guys are, and I concur, you know.
There is so, Sam, first off, you took it upon yourself while we were going through a nightmare, we're losing absolutely everything, not knowing where we're going to be, how we're going to survive, how we're going to do business. You know, our lives are upside down, and you immediately start a GoFundMe page on your own and to help us. Calling us regularly, you know, out of the thousands and thousands of people that we deal with on weekly, literally, there's been no one like you in our lives. We don't know how to thank you enough, Sam. You're like you're like a super gold. We love you dearly, Sam. You're showing us with this what's occurring, the compassion and the outpouring and the desire by the community to help. And you know, Don and I, Sam, we've never asked for anything. In fact, if somebody offers me a trip, I always say no. I got to work or give it to somebody in need.
Right.
My brother and I have never accepted anything in our lives. So it's emotional on a very deep level for us.
Yeah. Yeah. I know. Well, the thing is, Doug, is it's the least anybody can do, I think. And I'm just grateful to everybody who is, you know, I mean, the outpour of love and support, you know, and people show that with their donations. And we already made a nice, you know, we raised quite a bit, but we need so much more because you guys, I was saying, it's seven souls in that family, you know, and it's not easy. And you got a business, and if you don't build the business quickly, you won't have your livelihood. So you got to focus on that. Yeah, I just hope it'll be enough, man, you know, but anything that people can help is great, you know. And I love you to death. I would never think of anything else but to help you guys in any possible way, and I will continue to in as much as I can, you know, because I can't stop thinking about your plight right now.
Yeah, the hardest thing for Don and I was the period of time where we didn't know. We didn't know. Was our home make it? Did we not? They wouldn't let us in.
Right.
You know, they were actually, you know, they were so busy. They're cutting off all the areas. We could never find out. Are we going to be okay? And then 2 days later, cops take a picture of this property and send it to us, one of Don's son's friends. And it's ash. I mean, literally ash, a three-story building, a steel roof, ash. Yeah. It's hard to believe because I worked so hard on that property and
you really did.
It wrecked my body. You know this, Sam. It wrecked my body. I'll never be the same because of it.
That's true. And all the landscaping and repairs and everything you've done there is unbelievable.
We wanted it to be park-like with benches and lights and fruit. All we ever planted were hundreds of species of fruit trees and anything that could grow in the area that could produce food, we grew. We didn't plant regular trees. We only wanted it to produce food, and we wanted people to be able to enjoy it like we enjoyed building it. Thousands of feet of rock walls cascading down the hillside. It was, I truly believe it was the most beautiful property in paradise.
Yeah.
And it took 15 years to create it. You know, every moment I had, and that's horrible.
Plus, yeah.
All of our memorabilia.
I know.
We don't even have a picture of our family left. We were handed down boxes of old books that can never, you know, the only of their kind. 35 millimeter film of area that we were born in and lands that were just so, you couldn't put a price tag on it.
Exactly.
20 boxes of collectible magazines, boxes of coins that were rare. And, you know, everything we collected, everything we had, our motorbikes, our RV, all of our possessions, all of our tax records. The hardest part is Don and I thinking, oh, my God, now we have no data. We have no taxes we got to redo. There's no data. All the work I built with Donald, dozens of companies and all the paperwork to build companies. You know, from A to Z is immense, especially when we do what we did, which is taking them public and, you know, building their business plans and their financials and their feasibility studies and all the people that you deal with, the contracts that you write. You keep it so you can refer back to it so you can do things quicker in the future. All of that's gone.
Yeah, it's tough.
It's overwhelming.
Yeah, how do you even start, you know? Yeah.
It's overwhelming.
Wow. Tell me something. Is Don there too? Let us exchange a few words with him too. I haven't had a chance to talk to him much.
Sure. Let me bring you over to Don. He's right here.
Okay, Doug.
By the way, we look like two madmen out of a comic book story because we haven't shaved or really washed in a week or, you know.
Jeez.
But here he is.
Okay, he is. Doug. By the way, Doug, thank you. Thank you for everything.
Oh, Sam, thank you. I can't believe it. Thank you. Thank you, Sam.
You're going to make me cry.
I love you, man. I give you hugs forever.
Thank you, Doug. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Well, I'll call you in a little bit, Doug.
Okay, my friend.
All right.
I love you, man.
Love you, too.
I really love you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is really cool.
This is Don, and hello to your audience. It's a pleasure to be alive and to be here, especially on your program, Sam.
Thank you, Don. Thank you for joining us. Now, for those of you listening, this is Don Newsome, who is the other half of the twins. And, you know, by the way, Danny, my co-host here, she's also got a twin, mm-hmm. and she was here the other day. And so I'm surrounded by twins. Mm-hmm. I know a lot of twins. And you guys are one of the kindest, the most loving brothers I've seen in many years, you know, in all my life. And a lot of people are echoing this, you know, the people that are donating to your funds and stuff. They're just saying, I mean, I'm just like, so touched by all the messages people send of what great people you are and how much people love you and stuff, you know.
Gosh, Sam, you've like Doug was saying, you've proven to us what kind of love and support there is out there. I mean, you took the ball and you ran with it, and it's a lifesaver to us, a lifesaver. Doug and I, you know, rarely think in these kind of terms, and
right.
and you put it into action so fast where we don't know where we're going to live. We're in temporary place right now. We can't get mail because, well, the post office is gone, so right. and our address is gone. So before we even
oh my
knew
gosh.
Where we could even receive things or get things, here you are setting up a GoFundMe account. And yeah. it just, Doug and I were emotional. You know, I mean, I don't even know what to say. It's just a lifesaver to us, Sam.
Yeah, there's nothing to say, man. There's nothing to say that you haven't said already. And I think gratitude is really all that people look for, and for appreciation for what they do. And, you know, and one of my mottos is, you know, people talk and talk and talk, but it's actions that actually speak loud. And, and people have to do things, you know. And if anybody wants to help you count their blessings, they were not in that fire, but to reach out a hand. I mean, people have been given all kinds of amounts, so it doesn't really matter how much you do. And even if you can't donate anything, at least share the story from Facebook and stuff and let people know about it. I mean, I was just really touched by people that don't even know you, but they know me, and they donate.
Right.
You know, I'm going, wow, you
it's
know?
The comments and the messages and the love and the donations and the kindest words people have been writing us and posting messages. It's overwhelming. I mean,
yeah.
overwhelming love. And to me, you know, even my wife and my brother and my kids, we've been reading these notes and messages as we sit here, you know, figuring out what we're going to do.
Right.
And it's the first smiles I've seen on my kids because my one boy, he's in college and doesn't know what he's going to do. You know, the college is down until after Thanksgiving. My other son, he's going through his senior year. And my daughter, she has been in ballet almost every day, hours. For the last 10 years, that ballet center burned down. Yeah. And my youngest son, he's, you know, the same thing. We sit around and we read these messages, and it puts smiles on our face. Well, the amount of love is just absolutely wonderful.
And I want you to know that people don't get love like this unless they earn it. And you guys have earned it, you know? People know you, and they know you're not bullshit. You're really the real thing. And I think that's what it is. So I think if anything people can learn from this is you got to build up a good reputation for yourself. Mm-hmm. You know, you gotta show you're not selfish. You're not a cheat. You're not, you know, a crook or something. That you're a decent human being. You have compassion. You're graceful to other people. That's what it comes down to. And then it comes back to you. And it's coming back to you now, guys, because you've helped so many people.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. One thing I am learning from this is the community is everything. The community and the people you work with and the people you do business with, it's everything.
Right.
Everything. The possessions and the things you have is, you know, dust. You can't take it when you leave. All you can take is the compassion, the emotion, and the communication that you've had with others in your life. That's all you'll ever take with you. And this just goes to show you just how beautiful that is.
Yeah.
How beautiful that truly is.
Yeah. People need people, you know? So,
people.
Yeah. Don, we're almost out of time. I want to thank you guys both for coming on the show. And everybody, again, if you're really after the story, you want to help out a little bit, go to GoFundMe and just look up Newsom, N-E-W-S-O-M. You'll find him there. If you're on Facebook, check out anybody's page. You'll see it there. And there's a Facebook fund now as well that people have been pitching in into. So we're grateful to everybody. Don, Doug, thank you so much.
We are grateful to everybody, you, your audience, gosh, everybody out there. We are overwhelming gratefulness and love to you all. You have been a lifesaver on Sam and your audience and your friends and those that have been sharing, caring. I don't even know how to show my true gratitude. Again, overwhelming. I'm just stunned by it.
Awesome. Well,
I thank you all dearly from the bottom of my heart and my family's heart.
Thank you so much, Don. And everybody's looking forward to BBS Radio coming back on the air soon. And I know you guys are working hard on this. And let me tell you something. I mean, thanks. The fact you're not just sitting back and moping about your situation, and rather you're actually doing something about it to rebuild your life right away, I think is, you know, it's admirable. You know,
we're going in right now into debt as far as we can possibly go, even on my kids' credit cards.
Wow.
Just if they manage to grab them, just so that we can get what we can to start something up minimalistically in the meantime, so we can say to people, hey, we're not gone. We're coming back. So we're scrambling, trying to access accounts and access even our servers and access what we can in order to get things started and put a studio in place temporarily, a tiny one, you know, with what we can afford right now. We're giving her. We're trying our best. And with the community and with the love you have given us and your friends and our friends and everybody, we're going to make it. We're not going anywhere.
Yeah.
You've all shown us this is possible, and we are just forever grateful, and thank you.
Thanks. I can't imagine anything being more difficult than losing your livelihood and your home. You know, those are things that are basic to people. And once you lose that, what have you got?
Right.
Don, thanks again. And you guys,
thank you too. Thank you.
No problem, man. And you guys take care and keep us posted on the progress.
Absolutely will.
Okay.
Absolutely.
All our love to your family and everything. I can imagine it's hard for Melissa and the kids, but you guys are staying strong, and we really admire that, you know. So good for you. You're taking care of your family. You're stepping up to the plate, and that's all anybody can ask for, you know?
Thank you.
Sure, sure. I'd also send you some weed, but I can't send it by mail, so you guys will have to. I'm just kidding. All right, everybody. Don, Doug, thank you again, and we'll talk to you soon.
Okay. Thank you all.
Okay.
Always love. Always. Bye for now.
Bye. Oh, what a heartbreaking story, you know?
Yeah, it's horrible.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, I can't believe people have to go through this shit. And, you know, Danny, I mean, you know, we sit here and we go, oh, it'll never happen to us. It'll never happen to us. But you never know where it's going to fucking come from,
know.
You know?
Yeah.
I'm sure they've been worrying about, you know, living in California, about earthquakes and shit like this. Never about fire blazes like this, you know? And shit, you know, he said it was burning 3 football fields a minute. No, I was reading it was burning 80 football fields a minute. You imagine that.
Football fields are really big, too.
Yeah. So imagine 80 of them.
That's so crazy.
A minute. Jeez, man. I can't imagine.
I just don't get how a fire that big starts.
Yeah, well, that's what we were talking about, is the power company. Apparently, this woman wrote and said that she was seeing sparks coming out of their transformers, you know, where the, you know, the wires go and stuff. And they didn't do anything about it. So now they're suspecting that's what happened, you know. But not all fires start that way, you know. I truly believe that if you have a, because fire, what fire needs is heat, fuel, and oxygen.
Right.
To burn. So you have the heat from the hot sun.
Right.
You have the fuel, which is the all the brush and all the, you know, and then the wind, which is the oxygen.
Right.
And that's what inflames everything, and it's just unbelievable. So yeah. Well, okay, we're out of time, folks. Thank you all for joining us. Danny, thank you. The less we talk about your relationships, the better, because I'll tell you why, man. You seem to me like you're going through a lot of shit with relationships, and you gotta let.
I mean,
this
that
guy
means absolutely minuscule after the stuff other people are going
through. Right?
Let's be serious. I'm completely content with my shitty relationships at this point.
Oh wow!
That's when you gotta put things
in perspective.
Yes.
Yeah. Everybody, thank you all for listening, and we'll see you all tomorrow.
Listening to Sam in the Morning with Danny, only on LA Talk Radio.